Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Thursday, January the 12th, and welcome to our commentary. Well, this is one of those days where there's only one topic, and that is, of course, the special counsel that has just been named to look into the Biden documents problem. So we'll be talking about that because, obviously, now that it's a special counsel, it basically means that it's going to be, you know, done by the special counsel. He's going to be operating completely apart from news coverage. But it has a lot of implications for 2024 for both of these men, and we'll be getting into that in just a second. I've got a couple of things I want to touch before we get to the independent counsel and President Biden. First of all, I got to tell you that I'm really happy with Speaker McCarthy. You know, a week ago when we had that delay in the naming of the speaker, there were a lot of people who were saying that he was going to be a weak speaker, that he was not going to have a lot of unity in the caucus. And I know it's a week, so I don't want to, you know, write the story this quickly. But there's two things that I like about Speaker McCarthy, what I've seen this week. First is his ability to communicate. He's a good communicator. He speaks directly. He speaks frankly. And, you know, he doesn't play games. He basically goes right to the source and speaks clearly and directly. I like that. I also like the fact that they're following up with the promises that they made. You know, some of the legislation that has come up so far should be satisfying to everybody in that Republican Congress. So far, so good. It's only 1 week, I understand, and this is going to be a lot longer than a week. But you got to hand it to the speaker. I think he's doing a good job in communications, which is a big part of his job. The other thing is I do have a post over at the American Thinker today, once again talking about President Biden in Mexico. And, you know, the reality is that this is not going to be, especially because of what happened today, this is not going to be a very important summit. I think that, you know, for President López Obrador in Mexico, I'm sure he tried to get as much as he could out of this summit, that is from a public relations standpoint. And in the case of the Prime Minister of Canada, you know, he's always, whoever the Prime Minister of Canada is in these meetings, unfortunately, he's always the one who doesn't get a lot of attention outside of Canada, of course. But, you know, there's not going to be much happening. And that's because the core of the problem is the fact that the Biden administration has not taken the border seriously. And until they're willing to make some tough decisions on the border, like President Trump did with Remain in Mexico, and President Trump was willing to confront Mexico as far as doing something on the border, you know, you can be friendly, you can have a nice meeting together, but not much is going to happen between the United States and Mexico, unless the Biden administration decides to get serious. Now, the post that I have over at the American Thinker today, Thursday, has to do with, you know, the President López Obrador saying that the United States has to do more about Latin America, which is, of course, crazy, absolutely crazy. What is he expecting the United States to do? You know, we're already giving foreign aid, but more important than foreign aid, we're already doing a lot of things through the commerce and everything else that we do. So what is he expecting the United States to do? It's absolutely insane. I've got another post coming out Friday morning where I talk about how President López Obrador was praising President Biden for being the only president who has not built a wall. Well, that's not technically true because they are building or at least completing a wall in Yuma, Arizona. But, you know, this is not, politically speaking, that's not a smart thing to have a president of Mexico say to the president of the United States, hey, congratulations, because you haven't built a wall. Well, that's, you know, that's stupid. I mean, it doesn't do anything for President Biden at a time when, you know, you look at the border and it's obvious that we have a problem on the border. So I don't think it was a good summit. I don't think it's going to do much of a lot. I don't think it's going to be a consequential summit. And one of the reasons is because of the topic we're about to get into right now, which is that today, Attorney General Merrick Garland decided to appoint a special counsel on the Biden documents. Now, politically speaking, what this does, and by the way, I congratulate the Attorney General for doing this. He had to do it, but I congratulate him for doing it. He could have danced around the issue, but I'm glad that he did it. I'm glad that he was willing to say, hey, let's have a special counsel and let's get this out of the political atmosphere. So I think that it was a smart thing to do. But politically speaking, what it basically does is that it cancels the two issues, the document issues. I think the Democrats were hoping to run if President Trump was the nominee of the Republican Party. What they were hoping to do is run against him and use the document issue as a scandal and potentially even indicting him for what happened with the document. That's not going to happen now. That's not going to happen now because there's no way you can indict President Trump and not indict President Biden. My guess, and this is my hope, more as a citizen than anything else, is that both independent counsels conclude that mistakes were made, and that both independent counsels conclude that we have got to take a look and sort of update how we keep these documents so that from now on, every president, every outgoing president will know exactly what he has to do and will know exactly the penalties if he or she doesn't follow the rule. That's what I think, what I'm hoping will come out of this. You are not going to be able to indict one without indicting the other. So, you know, the special counsel is obviously, will neutralize the issue. Now, the other important thing about the special counsel, and this, I think, applies more to President Biden. If you remember the special counsel that was named the special counsel that was named back against President Clinton, that special counsel was named because of the Watergate scandal. That's what that particular investigation was about. Watergate being that property that Mr. and Mrs. Clinton had invested in Arkansas. That's what that independent counsel was all about. That independent counsel ended up with Monica Lewinsky and the perjury and all of that stuff, obstruction of justice, that ended up impeaching President Clinton. So you never know. And this is the problem with these independent counsels. You never know, frankly, where this is going to take you. You never know where an independent counsel is going to take you because the good news and the bad news of an independent counsel is the good news is that it's independent. The bad news is that it's independent. And, you know, if they see something along the way that would suggest some law breaking or something, they got to deal with it. And that, of course, raises the question of Hunter Biden. You know, Hunter Biden, what exactly could be in all these documents related to Hunter Biden? I mean, it seems to me a little bit odd that a vice president would want to have documents in his possession, since it's not his administration. It's the Obama administration. I mean, I'm wondering what President Obama thinks of all of this because these documents belong to him. They're part of his administration. Obviously, the vice president has, access and activities that he works on. But at the end of the day, these documents belong to him, to his administration. So was President Obama aware that these documents existed or that these documents were missing from the archives? That raises another question too, and that is these people at the archives, it doesn't sound to me like they're doing their job. I mean, if you've got documents at an office or in a garage, why aren't these people looking for these documents? I mean, why aren't they calling President Obama or his staff and saying, hey, look, we're missing some documents here from your administration. You know, what's going on? Who's got these things? So, I mean, it just seems to me like this whole thing was handled poorly. And that's why it raises the question, at least in my mind, maybe I'm being too cynical in this, but it raises the question that maybe something in those boxes is something that President Biden or now President Biden did not want to go out in public. And that's why he was hoping to get away with it. Now, that could be one reason. I'm being cynical, I know. in saying that. Another reason, frankly, and I think this applies to President Trump as well, maybe they didn't know exactly what was in all those documents. I mean, you're talking about hundreds of documents that these presidents deal with. So, you know, maybe the whole thing were just stupid mistakes from both of them. Another issue, too, that has to be taken into account, and hopefully new legislation will do this, and that is that maybe we're classifying too many documents. Maybe there's just too many classified documents, which creates potentially these problems. But now that you've got two independent counsels going, where this goes, your guess is as good as mine. But I would not be happy if I'm President Biden, because apparently he didn't know that the Attorney General was going to be naming the special counsel. Apparently he didn't know that from what I'm hearing in the media. And these independent counsels, again, remember the Whitewater counsel, they go in all kinds of crazy directions, and you just never know. You just never know where they're going to take you or what surprises out there. Sometimes you end up in a investigating something that you didn't start out investigating. Again, Monica Lewinsky, the best example of that. A couple of things on this day in history that I wanted to remember. Rush Limbaugh was born in Missouri on this day in 1951. So Rush, of course, passed away almost 2 years ago. And I don't know about you, but I still miss Rush Limbaugh a great deal. I mean, listening to the radio at 11 o'clock in the morning, noon, 1 o'clock, it's totally different without Rush Limbaugh. I mean, there's just something that Rush Limbaugh did and his style and the way he covered things. I mean, imagine Rush Limbaugh right now, how much fun he'd be having all of this, how informative it would be. I mean, I really miss Rush Limbaugh. I thought he was absolutely wonderful, not just because he's a conservative, we like him for that reason, but because he was a very good radio man. I mean, he was about as good behind the microphone as any man who has ever worked in the radio business. So we miss Rush Limbaugh, who would have been 72 today. Of course, he passed away a little bit before he turned 70, or just right after, I think, he turned 70 in 2021. And if you're a sports fan, particularly a New York football fan, you're going to remember this day in 1969. This was the day that the Jets beat the Colts to win Super Bowl III. That particular Super Bowl is the one that changed the NFL. Because right after that victory, the Jets from the AFL defeating the Colts from the NFL, that was more or less what set up the merger that gave us the NFC, the National Football Conference, and the American Football Conference the way we know it today. That all started when Joe Namath beat the Colts 16-7 on this day back in 1969. You know, people say the score was 16-7. It was not a close game. Trust me, I watched the game, and it was not a close game. The Jets were so much better that day than the Colts, which, of course, was a surprise because the Colts were 13-1. That's when they used to play 14 games. The Colts were 13-1 during the season, and they were a very good team that year. They were probably one of the best NFL teams ever, but they lost to the Jets. They were outplayed by the Jets on that day, and with that victory, the country got to know the AFL. I mean, the football fans knew about it, but the whole country in general, particularly the NFL, got to know the AFL, and that's what led to the merger that happened a couple of years later. Ironically, the Colts ended up with the Jets in the same division after the merger. So that's why a lot of the younger fans, when they say, oh, the Jets and the Colts in the Super Bowl, how can that be? Well, back then, they were playing in different leagues, and that's why they ended up playing in the Super Bowl. Have a great day, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we'll have a lot more to say about the special counsel over the next few days. Bye-bye, everybody.